How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, here for you daily, Monday through Friday, and today is the Friday show, which also can be titled, Fire Everybody, because the Celtics didn't make a trade at the trade deadline. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Mass Live's Jay King, and Jay, the Celtics stood pat again. And everybody's losing their mind. Not everybody. A lot of people are losing their minds on Twitter and social media and on the radio. So, what happened?
So what happened was Jimmy Butler and Paul George were out there. Like, the Bulls and Pacers weren't fully committed to a rebuild, obviously. They weren't going to sell those guys for less than the price that they set, and the Celtics and those teams never reached an agreement. And now, obviously, the Pacers and Bulls didn't trade those guys. Butler is going to be on the market again this summer. George will likely be on the market again this summer. Like, those have not gone away as options. It's just the Celtics, instead of gutting part of their core. The big holdup, I think, here is I do think the Celtics would be willing to include the 2017 Brooklyn Nets pick for either of those guys. The holdup, I think, is the other pieces. How much of the current core do you have to put a dent into in addition to that Brooklyn Nets pick, which could be the number one pick in the draft, which could yield Markelle Fultz, who could be a star, or Lonzo Ball, who could be a star. So from a Celtics perspective, it was like they had a certain tag, and it wasn't the same, obviously, as Chicago's or Indiana's right now. Chicago and Indiana could revisit talks later. The price tag could change. But for now, for the Celtics, I mean, their alternative is either A, take the pick, use it on whoever they get in the top four of the draft, whatever spot they fall, after Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin with cap space, which is still very possible. They could clear maximum cap space and go after those guys and still have the assets later to go after Paul George and Jimmy Butler. So to me, like, it's not a failure to miss out on those guys. I do think it must have been tempting. Like when Paul George and Jimmy Butler are names that are thrown about, that is tempting, because those guys are not just stars, but young stars who are still under contract. George through the 2017-2018 season, Butler for another year beyond that. And like that has to be really tempting to add that, but for the Celtics right now, they just didn't feel like the trades that were out there made sense. I have heard that they never got too serious. Like Twitter went wild. there was a lot of buzz on Twitter, especially about George. But I have heard the Celtics never got too serious about either player, and that neither team's really like it was never too close at any point with either team, and it wasn't like something that went down to the wire. It was more of something where the talks fizzled out earlier, and it was pretty clear, I think, that the Celtics were going to move on with most of their current roster. What's also interesting is that they didn't make any other trades to upgrade the bottom half of their rotation.
So there's a couple of things there. So let's just be clear. This was not a situation where the Boston Celtics and the Indiana Pacers, or the Boston Celtics and the Chicago Bulls, had gotten to a point where they had talked players, picks, and were inching closer to a deal, and there was a sticking point where Danny Ainge was unwilling to include this pick or that pick, and they said, that's it, the deal is off.
I don't think it was anything that ever got too close. From what I was led to believe, the talks today were never super serious. And obviously Indiana was gauging the market for Paul George, and Chicago has expressed not expressed interest in moving Butler, but they have also explored what they could find for Butler, including talks with Boston dating back to draft night this past summer. But as far as I've heard, there was never anything that got too hot between the two teams, where the Celtics felt like they were close to landing one of those stars. And obviously, like, people can react in two different ways. Like, what are they doing? They missed out on Paul George and Jimmy Butler. They missed out on adding a star to the current team. And then there's probably I don't want to call it the more rational route, because the Celtics were probably tempted to add one of those guys, but then there's the other way, like, okay, they will still have opportunities to go after those guys this summer if they need to, if they want to. And at that point, they'll know what exactly their draft pick will yield. Will it be the number one pick, two, three, four? Like, there's a significant difference in value. And I think if you traded that pick today, obviously right now there's only a 25% chance of that becoming the number one pick. If that does become the number one pick, then opportunities shift for the Celtics. Then all of a sudden you don't have to add Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart to a trade to make it more compelling for another team. Then maybe you can hold on to one of those guys and give up fewer assets along with the number one pick. Or who knows, like the Celtics, they like Markelle Fultz. They think he has a chance to become a real star. They might just hold on to that pick and use it. I do think, obviously, with Isaiah Thomas exploding the way he has and rising the way he has, that they feel some, not pressure necessarily, because the Celtics front office has very rarely reacted to pressure, but I do believe that they feel a desire to upgrade the talent around Isaiah Thomas, to give him a real chance to compete, to give their team a real chance to compete with him, because obviously he's become one of the top scorers, one of the best offensive players in the entire NBA. So there is a draw to do that, but for now they're kicking the opportunities forward, and actually all of the same opportunities will exist as, plus, you know, Gordon Hayward, Blake Griffin, who will be free agents. There will still be a lot of chances for the Celtics to pick up a star, but there's also the shot clock, I guess, is how you could put it, with Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, all due for new contracts next summer. And there will be a little pressure, I think, to get something done before then in order to either maximize his current core or move parts of the current core and shift things around a little bit. But for now, you know, they've they've pushed their opportunities to, you know, a few months from now, and they'll go forward in the Eastern Conference with the same team that right now is number two in the conference.
Well, that's not a bad spot to be in. I want to bring in a guest that we had tonight. I spoke to him a few minutes ago. It is your coworker at MassLive.com, Tom Westerholm. Tom and I had a conversation for a few minutes. It's good to get a different perspective in. Let's play some of this audio here. Here's me and Tom talking about this trade deadline a little while ago.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
All right, let's get into it with Tom. Tom Westerholm of MassLive.com. We're upgrading our MassLive writers, which if people – you're hearing that for the first time. Maybe you chuckled a little bit. I've made that joke like 10 times over text to various people. So, Tom, thanks for hopping on here. The trade deadline has come and gone. The Celtics have done nothing, and people – not everybody. I'm sure I'm reacting to a very vocal minority on social media, but there is a segment of the population, and I'm sure the local sports talk radio hosts as well, who are pissed. They're pissed off because the Celtics did nothing, and they have all these assets, and so, right? We should all be angry, pitchforks and torches.
My favorite narrative was that it's time that Danny Ainge makes a move. Like he absolutely has to, and, like, it's, you know, he's just had these picks for too long. They're going to go bad in the refrigerator if he doesn't use them now. Like, you got to cook those things up already. That was my favorite one, personally, and I saw it in a few different places.
Right. Here's the funniest part about that is people were saying that last year. And then they made that pick and it became Jaylen Brown. And this year they're saying the same thing, but they're also saying don't trade Jaylen Brown. Like he's a guy that we need to keep, but we need to trade these picks. Like do you realize we just did that last year, that song and dance? And you want to keep the guy that we drafted. Maybe if we get to that point, you'll want to keep that guy again. But, all right, so let's kind of set the record straight. As if Trader Danny wasn't a thing for a long time, the Celtics here have let this situation pass. So give your honest assessment. I think as far as keeping, and a lot of people think that keeping is okay, but a lot of people think that it's not so great. Where are you on this as far as standing pat? How much longer can the Celtics stand pat? At what point do they need to do something?
So I like to think of myself as kind of like reasonably radical about keeping the picks, because I think that some of these guys who are coming up in the next couple of years are really, really good. I'm a little bit biased. You know, I live in Springfield, so I get to see the HoopBall Classic every year. So I see a lot of these kids who come through. I do a lot of homework on them while they're still in high school. And so I got to see Markelle Fultz when he was in high school. I got to see Jason Tatum. You know, this year I saw a couple of guys who really blew me away. So I'm very much, you know, I've been kind of on this team, keep the picks, like, kind of run that out, especially with some of the new CBA designations. If these guys become superstars, there's a really good chance that you get to keep them, you know, as long as you want to have them on your team, just because you can pay them so much money. So that's kind of where I've been. On the other hand, I also totally understand that, look, if you have the opportunity and if you can get them to agree to it, if you can trade for Jimmy Butler and Paul George and you can put them that, you know, however you want to say that, however you want to try to work those deals, I definitely understand that those options are really difficult to pass up for somebody who's really uncertain, like a college freshman. So that's kind of where I stand is, look, if they get to the draft and they use these picks, people are going to really like these guys. Everybody talked about the 2016 draft being, you know, top heavy, and really it's only the first two guys who are any good. And look at Jaylen Brown has been starting, and he's been really successful in the starting lineup on the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. And the 2017 draft is quite a bit more loaded. I mean, there's more talent in that draft. So I think that they should keep the picks. I think they should let them roll. But if they don't, I get it, because again, these are the kind of assets that can land you a star, and it's really tough to pass up on stars when those options are available.
Do you think that once teams like Indiana and Chicago, side note, what the hell is Chicago doing?
If this report is true that they passed up on you know, some kind of package that included both of the Brooklyn picks, that's brutal, especially considering they wanted core pieces and they're trying to rebuild around that. Like, I have no idea. It's baffling.
Before I finish even my question, yes. And I'm sure, like, this is how let me just stop for a second and ask it again. What the hell is Chicago doing? They are, it feels like Paxson is just trying to save his job.
Yes.
And he's making moves, chasing bad deals, bad contracts. It's the really prototypical save my job type of thing where he doesn't want to blow it up. He doesn't want to go through a full rebuild because that means being terrible, and being terrible doesn't sell season tickets and it doesn't bring fans into the games and blah, blah, blah. But if he passed up on any package that included picks and didn't ask for young players like Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, and wanted instead Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley, so we could to be some sort of middle of the road team. Like the Celtic, he would basically become what the Celtics are trying to not be.
Right. Minus Isaiah Thomas, minus Al Horford,
right.
Minus all of the things that make Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder work really well. I mean, and don't get me wrong, those guys are incredibly talented, and you know they do a lot of things, and I would love to have them on my team if I'm Chicago. But I mean, they're just not that helpful, you know, in turning you into a contender without a superstar, which is what they would be trading in Jimmy Butler. I don't get it.
Right. So back to the original question before I got sidetracked by Chicago's stupidity. Like, they're trying to make Sacramento look good at this point, which is not possible, but they're trying. Do we think that once that pick becomes a number and not just this abstract Brooklyn pick, once it becomes the first or second or third pick, does that change the dynamic for you of what a trade scenario would look like on draft day? Does the number one pick carry so much more weight than the number three pick that the Celtics could pull off a deal that didn't include some of these players, as opposed to if it was number three, you'd have to throw in extra guys?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to think of it in terms of who those picks would be, obviously. I mean, I think, you know, thinking of it as in terms of, okay, so the number one pick has more value. I think teams are going to start to get to the point where they stop thinking, okay, it's the number one pick, and they start thinking, okay, we would probably take Markelle Fultz with that, and that's why that pick has value to us. And so that it's a tough question, because I do think that the Celtics love Markelle Fultz, as you know, tons of teams do around the league.
Basically, yeah. Everybody does.
It's tough to watch him and not love him, but I'm not sure that it changes too much. The package that would be involved is still similar. I don't think that even if it's the number one pick that they're going to be able to get away with, you know, not giving up some of their talented role players. I think they'll still have to do some, and obviously they'd have to do some to make the salaries work and all of that. So, you know, would they have to give up less? Probably, but they might be less willing to do that. You know, if you get Markelle Fultz, you can probably play him next to Isaiah Thomas, and that's not nothing. You know, that's pretty significant, because they love Isaiah so much. And look, Boston loves Isaiah so much. It would be a really bad look right now if they, you know, decided to try to rebuild, and they decided to try to build through these draft picks, and then they traded Isaiah. I mean, the fans would revolt. So I don't think they can do that. And if they got the number one pick, I don't think they would have to, if that makes sense. So I think they would, if they got the number one pick, I think they would have to try to try to balance that. But honestly, I think if they got the number one, they would be a lot more likely to try to go that route and you know, kind of try to continue walking this tightrope that Danny Ainge has kind of been on.
Yeah, Danny is definitely trying to balance everything. He wants long-term sustained success. So making that number one pick is not out of the question. So and people forget we've got Ante Zizic, right. Gershon Yabusele. We got Abdel Nader, who's playing really well, a D-League All-Star, yeah. Right? So we've got talent. Now, that never really is guaranteed to translate, but the scouts that – I mean, I'm trying to keep up on what the scouts have said, and the consensus seems to be that Zizic right now, if he was in this draft, would be a top 10 yep. pick. So, holy shit, that's amazing that the Celtics essentially at the end of last year's draft with one of the picks, by the way, that everybody said we should have right. traded. Of course, not everybody, but – that's a pick that people said, you're not supposed to make that pick. That's supposed to be traded. It became Ante Zizic, and he's a part of our future. So two of the three picks in the first round are picks now that people are like, whoa, we don't want to give those up. Right. Hold on. Right. And even Yabusele, people are like, oh, man, Yabu, Dancing Bear. I want the Dancing Bear on my team. So, making that pick is absolutely not out of the question for Danny Ainge. Now, the other thing, another sentiment that I got a lot today. Okay, so the people who are upset, there is within that a subsection of them who say, no, we get it, long-term plan, but why didn't you do something? And that brings in the PJ Tucker, Andrew Bogut type of trades that we've been looking at. And why didn't the Celtics make one of those? So what's your feeling on trading some of the lesser assets, you know, a couple of second round picks yeah. that Tucker went for? Would you have liked to have seen Danny Ainge do that?
So that's an interesting one because obviously I think the Celtics are hoping that some of those lesser picks become, you know, those lesser sort of assets become the filler that kind of convinces somebody to make a Paul George deal or make a Jimmy Butler deal. You know, I think that that's what they're really hoping for. That's probably what they were hoping for as kind of the stretch run of the trade deadline, you know, kind of counted down. It's interesting because Bogut seems like he's kind of a great fit. You know, I was kind of running some numbers, and when he's been healthy this season, he's been one of the four or five best rebounders in the league. Obviously, we saw him with Golden State last year, and he was a great fit with that team. You know, they only gave him up because they had to make the contracts work. So, yeah, I think there was potential that they could have gone out and gotten him and kind of secured that with, you know, with Philadelphia. That obviously they didn't, and now they've got a chance to try to get him without acquiring any asset or without giving up any assets, and that's a little bit less risky. But I do think it would have made some sense, you know, to go for him in some way, or at least to express to the Sixers, you know, hey, don't buy this guy out quite yet. It's difficult when you're not in that room, obviously, because, you know, you can't really see how close they got to a Jimmy Butler deal or to a Paul George deal, and you know how that kind of went down as time was winding down before the trade deadline. But that is one where I kind of question, you know, why didn't you package one of, I mean, even if it's, you know, even if it's a couple of second round picks, I mean, I feel like Philadelphia probably would have bought on that rather than, you know, just buying out his contract. Like that just doesn't, you know, that's not a whole lot of value for Bogut in that case. But, you know, Tucker's a tough one just because he went to Toronto and obviously they improved a lot. Like they had a great trade deadline, and I think you can look at the Celtics and pretty safely say they're in better position going forward, but you can also probably say that Toronto improved themselves to the point where as long as they get themselves back on track, they look like a better team right now, at least on paper. And obviously that can be deceiving, but I kind of think that, I don't know that I would have given up a ton for Tucker. He's a fine player. I don't know that he moves the needle that much, but I do think moving some of those assets and securing a chance at Bogut, that would have been a good decision in my opinion.
Yeah, the Tucker thing in Toronto. Toronto, I think, is in such a different situation 100%. Than the Celtics. You know, like the Celtics don't have that guy that's going to leave. Like Lowry is probably the best point guard in the East.
Yeah.
vastly underrated. He's just an amazing player, and he can walk, and he has expressed some frustration.
Yep.
They had glaring needs on the bench and at power forward, and they addressed both of those things. They had to do those deals. They were in a position where if they didn't do those deals, if we were doing the Locked On Raptors podcast right now, I'd be pissed if it was Danny didn't do anything. Those trades were out there. That's where I would be like, ah, Danny, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly. Yeah.
They had to. But on the flip side, where does that get them? They make their move. They keep Lowry. Now they're in a mode where they're really good. They're really good. And you can make an argument that if you were doing a power ranking, they would be the second best team in the East. Mm-hmm. You can solidly make that argument. Except that in the actual standings, they're 4 games behind the Celtics, and they played the Celtics Thursday night. And if the Celtics win that game, they're 5 games behind the Celtics with 24 games to go, which means they have to make up all of that spread in a very short amount of time. They won't do that.
Right. Yeah, and look, I mean, there's also the chance that, look, Washington's playing really, really well. There's the chance that Toronto might stay exactly where they are. You know, there's no guarantee whatsoever. You said that you think Lowry is the best point guard in the East, and I think that's perfectly reasonable. I think it's John Wall. You know, these guys are playing at an incredible level right now. So, but I completely agree with you. They had to make these moves, and these moves make them a lot better. They kind of, you know, they really don't have a choice but to chase Cleveland right now. They're in the best position they've been as a franchise. The opportunity was there to get Ibaka, you know, a week or whatever it was before the deadline. The opportunity was there to improve with PJ Tucker. Those are great moves, just not moves that would have made much sense for the Celtics. And, you know, we saw that with Ibaka. People were saying, well, why didn't the Celtics, you know, try to match that kind of an offer? And I think with a lot of these teams, they aren't going to make the same deals with the Celtics that they would make with other teams because the Celtics have better assets. And so they want those assets for these players, and the Celtics are just not going to give that up. So they go to the other teams. You know, worst case scenario, they get an equal deal to what the Celtics could have given up. Best case scenario, maybe they shake something free from the Celtics. And of course, Danny Ainge, you know, didn't let anything shake free. And I think that was smart. And I think that's kind of where we ended up where we are right now.
Yeah, it's funny because the Celtics, one of the big reactions that I've seen on Twitter is Team X only gave up this for this guy?
Right.
Why didn't we do that? Well, maybe they didn't want that. Maybe, okay, so Nerlens Noel went for a song and is now going to go to Dallas. And maybe the Celtics could have done the heavily protected pick or the, you know, it's essentially going to end up being 2 second rounders for Noel, which is wild.
Yeah.
The Celtics could have guaranteed a first rounder next year. You're going to get a first rounder next year. They could have gotten Noel, but the Celtics also wouldn't have paid Noel what Dallas is willing to pay. Yeah. It's a different situation, and Dallas will have space, and they're in a different place. So it's hard for many people to kind of take the situation and assess it from both sides. You just look at it and say, oh, they gave this. We could have beaten that offer.
Yeah.
But it's not. What are the Celtics going to do with that player? What's the other team going to do with the Celtics assets? So anyway, the bottom line is the Celtics could have done some small things to kind of improve the team in the short term. But looking at a team like Toronto, they have to chase Cleveland, like you said. But are they better than Cleveland now? Are they going to beat Cleveland in a 7-game series?
No. Yeah, I don't think they are. I don't even think they're that close. They don't have LeBron James. Sorry, guys.
Right. Right. So this is the funny thing about the NBA. They did what they had to do. Everybody agrees that they had a great trade deadline.
Yep.
If you're grading trades, you got the Pelicans and the Raptors, who both had great trade deadlines. And Pelicans, I think, just kind of like, oh, shit, what? You want to give us Boogie? Really?
Exactly.
Okay. What? All right, Vivek. Thanks.
No, absolutely. Buddy Hield is Steph Curry. You're right, Vivek.
Yeah. Oh, man. No. Oh, you got to take Buddy from us? Please. No. Don't do that.
Exactly.
And I wasn't even big on Boogie to Boston, but I mean, at that point, you got to take that deal. But, and that's another one of those deals where you sit there and say, why didn't Boston do that? Well, they didn't have, we didn't have a Buddy Hield on this roster. Right. Just nobody that compared to Buddy Hield on this roster. All right. So ultimately, go ahead. You had a point.
Oh, I was just also going to say, and again, it comes back to that thing where I think if the Kings and the Celtics were going to engage in a deal, it would have to start with a Brooklyn pick, and just Danny wasn't willing to risk that for
Boogie. Of course,
and that
not.
Makes perfect sense. You know, he's a risky guy, and the Nets picks are not assets that you give up for a risky guy.
Especially not when the Pelicans are giving up a mid-round first pick.
Exactly.
You know, that's, I mean, come on. All right, so here we are. Let's wrap this up with this. Where do we go from here? Where do the Celtics, honestly, do they make a trade at the deadline? Do you think they go all out for cap space and a signing? Or are we looking at maybe making this pick and just maybe next year, somewhere in December to the trade deadline, pick maybe trade that 18 pick? Where do you think the Celtics go from here?
My best guess is that they end up making the pick, and that's and that they kind of, you know, try to clear some space and sign a free agent, mostly because I don't think at this point they're going to be willing to trade for Paul George. George seems like pretty predestined to Los Angeles just based on all of the stuff that we've been hearing. And I think that even if he's not, it's a little bit too scary for the Celtics to try to, you know, trade for somebody that could make that decision if anything goes wrong in the year in between. I don't think they're going to, you know, I could be 100% wrong, but I don't think they're going to trade for Jimmy Butler just because I don't think the Bulls are going to ever agree to it. I think they're kind of waffling. And I mean, I don't know that they stop doing that. You know, Butler's on a great contract. He's a very marketable star. And as long as they've got a guy who's on a good contract and who's marketable and who's going to make them some money, I mean, you know, they surrounded him with Rondo and, you know, whatever else this offseason. I don't think they're that focused on winning the
championship. So terrible.
So I don't think they go. I don't know that I think they go after. I mean, they'll probably still pursue those guys or at least make calls about them. I don't know that they, you know, actually get them. I think they'll push for Hayward. I think they'll at very least, you know, poke the tires on Blake, you know, just kind of see what's happening there. And I think they end up making the pick. I don't know that they're going to be able to come up with a deal in the interim that interests them enough, you know, barring those two guys. Maybe something shakes free before the draft. But my guess is that they make the pick and they pursue guys in free agency. And, you know, that's what we saw them kind of set themselves up for. They didn't take on any extra money, because any extra money at this point, and you're not going to have max cap space this summer. You know, they've still got all these expirings. They can still move some of these guys. My best guess is that they try to aim, you know, for a very clean book, plenty of cap space. They can pursue free agents. They can do all of that stuff, and they can still try to improve through the draft. That's kind of my projection right now.
Sounds good. I think you're right on the money. This is Tom Westerholm, writer for MassLive.com. You can catch him on Twitter at Tom_NBA. That's a nice, simple, clean Twitter handle. So perfect. Great stuff. Definitely follow Tom on Twitter and check his stuff out on MassLive.com. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right, that was Tom, who, you know, as I said when we were talking, we upgraded our Mass Live writers. We're just, you know, kicking it up a notch here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. And that's probably like the 15th time I've made that joke, but whatever. That's fine. Okay, so among those topics that we discussed is this funny concept here, because the people who are upset will sit there and say, you have to start trading these picks. We can't be making all of these picks. But last year, before the trade deadline, people were saying the exact same thing. And then they picked in the first round, Jaylen Brown, Gershon Yabusele, and Ante Zizic. Now, as we head into this year's draft, scouts are saying Ante Zizic is going to be, he could have been a top 10 guy in this draft. And people are looking at Jaylen Brown saying, whoa, wait a second. This guy could be something. So last year at the draft, when people are saying, you got to trade these picks, don't make these picks. And now all of a sudden people are saying, we need to make a trade, but don't include Jaylen Brown and don't include Ante Zizic because we really feel like those guys could be huge parts of our future. Then why can't we just make this damn pick in 2017 and say, go with that, add him to the mix? Why can't that be a guy that we like and could be a future star?
I mean, you could, but the risk of that is right now you have Isaiah Thomas, who is in his prime and has become a legitimate star. Like, he is the type of player who you can win with. And so you run the risk of never, if you
wasting his prime,
take the draft picks. Yeah. Like you absolutely run the risk of wasting his prime, of letting Al Horford get older. Like there's risk to everything the Celtics do, and there's value to every decision they've made so far. Like, obviously you could take Markelle Fultz and be happy, and maybe he gives you 10 great years or more, and he becomes a star and he becomes a franchise altering player. And maybe you do that with a team that already won 50 plus games, and he lifts you to the next level, and Jaylen Brown becomes a star, and Ante Zizic comes in and makes a difference. Like these are all things that are possible. But at the same time, I do think if you take the long-term approach and take those picks, like there is risk to that. There's risk to everything. There's risk to going ahead and using tons of assets to go after George or Butler, because does one of those guys, if you have to give up Crowder, Smart, and or Bradley, does just one of those guys push you over Cleveland in the East? Maybe not. Probably not. And even if you get past Cleveland in the East, they're the Golden State Warriors. So I think there's risk to every option here. And the Celtics are trying to maximize what will turn them into a championship contender one day. Obviously, like some other teams, like the Raptors right now are kind of going all in. They went after Serge Ibaka. They went after PJ Tucker. They are building. They want to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers this year, and that's cool. That's a great goal. Like, Cleveland might be vulnerable.
I love the way you said that.
Vulnerable, whatever. But the Celtics, because of all the assets that they have, and because of the different opportunities that they will have in the future, their vision is different than a Toronto, than a Washington, the teams that made deals to solidify themselves for the stretch run of this season. And I mean, it's possible that some buyout candidates, whether it's Andrew Bogut, Jared Sullinger, might get bought out, apparently, from what I just saw on Twitter. There will be some buyout candidates that could potentially help the Celtics solidify their weaknesses. But obviously at the trade deadline, they didn't make any moves. And I do think it's possible Toronto passed them. I do think, you know, Washington is right there with those two teams. So you run the risk of not being as competitive as you could have been this season, but the Celtics have a very long-term approach to this, and they want to set themselves up the best they can to win titles in the future, and they think that passing on the opportunities that were available to them today was the best way to do that.
Yeah, okay. Let's explore this for a second, because the Celtics are currently, and I think one of the things on Twitter that people, a familiar refrain, let's say, is that now the Celtics have become the fourth best team in the East, except the season doesn't start today. The season started months ago, and it ends pretty soon. It ends in 25 games. So the Celtics are currently second in the East. They're not the fourth best team. They are the second best team. And Washington is 2 games behind. Toronto is 4 games behind. And oh, by the way, the Celtics play Toronto on Friday night. And if the Celtics can beat Toronto, if they can do that, they will then have a 5-game lead with 24 games to go. Not impossible, but highly improbable.
Pretty impossible, probably.
Very improbable, considering the Celtics have one of the easiest remaining schedules. Of those 24 games, there's 2 games against Brooklyn. There's the Knicks. There are the Bucks twice, which are not a pushover, but they can be beaten pretty easily. We've seen that before. They've got the Lakers. They've got the Suns. They've got a stretch there to end the season, the last 12 games. There are easily 9 or 10 very winnable games in that stretch. So for Toronto to make up that space, no. I don't think so, especially if the Celtics win on Friday night. And then on top of that, Toronto and Washington play each other twice on back-to-back nights after that. So Washington and Toronto are fighting each other for position and fighting to gain space.
Serious schedule work, man. You looked ahead.
Of course, man. I'm trying to sit here and I'm trying to be informative.
I like the research there.
These guys, even if they split, that's 2 games out of the remaining 25. If they split, that means they've not gained any ground. If one team beats the other twice, that puts the other team way behind, especially if Washington beats Toronto twice. Toronto's done. You can put them in that 4th seed, done, which means they're in Cleveland's bracket, and that's a bad place for them to be, even with the Ibaka and the Tucker moves. So then you have to count on Washington, and they shored up their bench. They did some nice things, but do you trust Otto Porter in that playoff stretch? Do you trust those guys? I think the Celtics can beat the Wizards if it comes down to that in the semifinals. So the Celtics, you can say what you want, people, but they are the 2nd seed, and they are in a good position that I think they'll beat whomever they face in the first round. And then the 2nd round, they'll be in a good position to win that series. And beyond that, let's look at the real expectations we had coming into this season. The goal was always win a first round series. If you lose in the 2nd round, that's not too bad. If you get to the conference finals, that's a win. That's just chalk it up. That's awesome. Why does that suddenly suck? Why does that suddenly suck for people? It shouldn't.
Well, it sucks for people because the Celtics have looked so good lately, and Cleveland suddenly looks vulnerable because of Kevin Love's surgery, and people are wondering whether the Celtics could have solidified themselves with another rebounder or another quality wing, could have solidified themselves for a run to maybe beat Cleveland. But I can promise you the Celtics front office, like they know this isn't a championship team, and what they're trying to build is a championship team, and they don't want to sacrifice any type of flexibility for you know, a run at Cleveland, which might not be realistic and ultimately would probably be ill-fated because they would probably get slammed by the Golden State Warriors in the finals anyway. I don't think they see saw a real point in trying to load up for this year, even though obviously the team has been good and Isaiah Thomas has been great. And
okay, I've been thinking of a way to kind of characterize what this year is in real terms. And I don't know if this is the best way to do it, but this is the best thing I could come up with. This is like a relationship that's great sex, that it's awesome. This season has been the great sex relationship. It's surprising. It's amazing. You're like, oh, Jesus. But you never fall in love with great sex. You never fall in love with – you need to fall in love with more substance. And as great as this season has been, they have overachieved. They have – to be the 2nd seed right now, and not just the 2nd seed, but a 2nd seed in position to solidify that. And hell, if you really squint, you can see that 1st seed. You can see Cleveland falling with the Love injury, and you can see the Celtics sneaking into that top seed. But it's not substantial. It's not long-term. So what you want is that long-term thing. You want something with substance. You want something that you can build on. You want something that when things get bad, you can still get through them. That's what Danny Ainge is trying to build. He's trying to build that long-lasting thing. That's the marriage. He wants to build this long-lasting relationship that will be good for a long time. So don't fall in love with great sex. Don't fall in love with this season.
Ainge is just out here looking for love, man.
That's it.
Just looking out for wifey.
Great sex is great, but we got to be looking for wifey. And I think that's what we're looking for. I think that's what Danny is going for.
Where you at?
That is analysis you're only going to find on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Yep.
That's it. You're not going to find that anywhere else. And you can maybe make the argument that you shouldn't find it anywhere else, but whatever. I'll stake my claim to it. So the next thing for the Celtics, okay, so they didn't make that trade. They didn't make the short-term trade, whatever. There is still the rest of the season. There's still 25 games, which is going to be fun.
So fun.
It's going to be great sex for the rest of the season. but look, the Celtics, I'm okay if the Celtics decide they want to waive James Young or, I guess, you know, Jordan Mickey or something like that. If they want to add an Andrew Bogut or Jared Sullinger is going to get waived. Maybe they want to bring Sullinger back for a couple dozen games. I don't know, but is there a target? Do you think the Celtics would have an appetite? You've been around them. You think the Celtics would have an appetite for waiving a guy and then adding somebody to make a little bit more noise in this stretch run?
I think Bogut would make a lot of sense. I'm not really sure what other ones. Maybe Sully, but they've tried that before. They let him go, and I think, especially given the injuries he's had, the lack of impact he's had in Toronto, that maybe you wouldn't want to clear a roster spot for him. And like right now, the Celtics are winning games because Isaiah Thomas is killing people, and they have shooters everywhere. Jared Sullinger is not a shooter. Jared Sullinger has not been good this year. So as much as he helped the rebounding, you'd have to, I think twice about throwing him into the rotation. And obviously, you know, if he's just going to take a 15th man spot and give you spot minutes as a rebounder, whatever. But I don't know that he makes sense. I do think Bogut would be a legitimate upgrade in the front court for sure.
Terrence Jones,
he was so promising a couple years ago. Like I thoroughly appreciated Terrence Jones's game a couple years ago on the Rockets, and now he's getting waived by the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, he's
just had a weird career so far. So
it has been, but he's got his defensive rebounding percentage is at 20, which. It fills a need. If you're going to fill a need, and if you want to just wave a guy like James Young and be like, he's gone anyway. What's the point? It doesn't matter. You know, you eat the rest of his salary. It doesn't matter. So, I don't know. I'm just throwing possibilities out there. Why not?
Yeah. There are names. I'm sure the Celtics will consider at least some of them. But with the exception of Bogut, I'm not sure any of the rest are clearly rotation guys. Like Bogut's definitely in the rotation. If the Celtics sign him, he's healthy, he'll be in the rotation very early on. With the other guys, it's more of a maybe, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, what else? That's it. I guess the next thing is to wait to see where this pick falls. And I think one of the key things here is maybe not with eventually trading for one of these guys, but because the trade deadline has passed, doesn't mean these guys stop talking. It doesn't mean Danny Ainge has no more contact with Paxson or Bird until June. I'm sure they're going to continue their conversations. I think it's just a matter of Indiana figuring out what the hell they want to do, because the reports after the deadline had passed made it seem like Indiana ownership was open to listening, and Bird was very much not open.
And then did you see Paul George like all pissed that they didn't tell him what was going on with the rumors?
I did not see that one, no.
Yeah, he has seemed pretty on edge with the Pacers organization this whole season, and kind of said, like, I was in the dark. This was a big decision. I wish I could have been included in the loop. So Paul George, not thrilled. The Bulls front office came out and said, right now, Jimmy Butler's on our team. It's like, okay, that sounds like a real vote of confidence for Jimmy's long-term future. So those guys will be available in the future.
Yeah. The question I posed to Tom was, what the hell is Chicago doing? What are they doing? Does anybody know what they're doing?
I think they're looking for the best Butler offer, I would guess, from trading Taj Gibson. Like, maybe you find an opportunity to build around him and you pivot directions, but I would be surprised if they would have turned down an overwhelming Jimmy Butler offer. If the Celtics had put together like an elite offer, and obviously they want the price tag to come down, and it might come down because you look around the NBA, the Celtics have they have all the goods to put together. Like, you look at the other teams that were rumored to be interested, and it's like the Atlanta Hawks, who have like some mid first round draft picks, and the Denver Nuggets, who have Jamal Murray, and you know, some also could be mid first round draft picks. I'm not fully up on their draft pick situation. I could be wrong there, but I think I'm right there. And obviously the Celtics have the top draft picks. They have Jaylen Brown, who is a young possible, who knows, whatever, like a lot of potential there. And they have young guys, Marcus Smart. So there's a lot more in Boston's cover than there are at most other places that are in the position to go after a star like those guys. So I do think Boston's comfortable in thinking that, okay, if we don't reach an agreement with these guys, then that's going to be available later, because nobody can trump what we can offer if we decide to put our chips on the table.
That's true. Boston, and look, last year, Boston had shown that it is willing to make the picks. Danny Ainge has said, we'll make the pick. And I'm sure now until June, he's going to say, we're going to make this pick. And as long as Chicago and Indiana believe fully that Ainge is willing to make this pick and not make a trade, that gives Ainge a position of power, especially since Paxson seems like he's out there just trying to save his ass. I really don't think he's trying to build a team. I think he's just trying to save his job. And I think Larry Bird just recognizes that Paul George is such a special talent that you don't just give up on that, and he will ride or die with Paul George and be done with it. And it makes more sense for Indiana to just take that to its absolute limit. And if he walks, he walks. But they really, I think, need to try like hell to build around him. Because a guy will go to Chicago, but to go to the Pacers, that's much less likely. They're not gonna attract a lot of free agents. But if you have Miles Turner and you've got Paul George, you've got two amazing pieces, and if you could just hit on something else, I'm sure Larry Bird is just hoping that he does just enough to convince Paul George to stay.
Yeah, so, or if Paul George becomes a designated player and all of a sudden you can offer him the mega deal, which seems highly unlikely. Like, he's probably not going to make an All-NBA this year. And if you hold off hope until next year, it would be like right before he hits free agency and right before like you wouldn't have the opportunity to trade him after that if he doesn't make it. So that's it. Those situations, they're, those guys are still going to be available come this summer, I think. And they're still there. Gordon Hayward, Blake Griffin's still there. A lot of chances for the Celtics. So, but at the same time, it's like these are huge decisions. Like, they have set themselves up so well, and there's not a lot that they can totally screw up. But
yeah,
the difference between being good to great is huge. And they need to nail these decisions, whether it's trading for a star, whether it's signing a free agent and picking someone in the top three or four, picking the right guy. Like, there are going to be so many decisions, huge decisions for them with these assets. I mean, they're in a great place, but to take that next step, to bring it from good, we're number two, to great, we're contending, that's a tough part. We've said it all along, but the fact that, you know, they're still there, and they've got contract decisions coming up, not really soon, but like kind of freaking soon. Like, they're going to make decisions on these guys pretty soon. There's a little pressure there. And we'll see. They just keep kicking the opportunities forward.
They've got time.
It's a nerve-wracking time to be a Celtics fan, even though Celtics fans, like, the Celtics are in such a great position. They are in the envy of every team in the league, with the exception of Golden State, Cleveland, and maybe like San Antonio. But at the same time, like, everything comes with risk. Long-term choices come with risk. Short-term choices come with risk. Everything is risky. Everything has so many stakes. And we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. The Boston Celtics. I think the bottom line is, if you're upset about this, you shouldn't be. I understand that you want something to happen, but it doesn't need to happen right now. It didn't need to happen at this deadline. I think most of us, I would have liked to have seen something happen. I've been pushing for a Paul George trade since the summer. I remember when I first brought it up in July, we were like, oh, wait, how about a Paul George move? But there is time. There is time. The Celtics are the second seed. They've got a nice lead, and there's a very high possibility that they will keep that second seed, or at worst go down to three. They will do what they do in the playoffs. The matchups are favorable in the first round, and as long as they stay mostly healthy and hopefully 100% healthy, they'll do okay, and this will end up being a successful season. It's all lining up for that. And then we get to do all of this crazy consternation, yelling at each other on Twitter again in June at the deadline. Oh, I cannot wait to argue with people on Twitter again in June at the draft. So, with that, thanks to Tom Westerholm. Again, follow him on Twitter at Tom_NBA. It was a great little interview. He does good work. Good guy. Follow him. He deserves it. And thanks for Jay for joining us when he should be on a plane to Toronto. But
they canceled my damn flight, man.
That's whatever. Your loss is our win. So are you going to get to Toronto?
Yep. 7 a.m. flight in the morning.
Awesome.
I got to play in my men's league game, and God, I was terrible.
Did Avery Bradley make it to Toronto?
Avery Bradley, Ainge said he was probably going to travel. He's not likely to play against Toronto. He only went through one-third of the practice. So we'll see if he travels. Even though Ainge said he's probably going to travel, I would be surprised. It sounded like, from what they said earlier, it sounded like they want him to get full practice in before he returns. So I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't travel, but we'll see. He's getting close. Jaylen Brown's going to play, which is a plus. So, yeah, we'll see. Avery Bradley's been out a long time.
Yeah. Should we be worried about that?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you just have to be super cautious with an Achilles. He had a couple setbacks early on, so, but obviously it's extended a long time at this point, and he's been out a lot of games. He's been out a lot of time. So I don't think it's anything to be too worried about. It doesn't seem like it's a long-term issue. He has said, you know, he feels really good, but And he didn't. He said he felt good after the practice, for whatever that's worth.
Okay.
And he did some of the stuff at practice.
All right, there it is. A quick injury update as we wrapped up. All right, so that's it. Go. That's the trade deadline show. That's everything. That's the Avery Bradley update. And let's see. Big game against the Raptors. If the Celtics can win, they will put significant distance, almost insurmountable distance at this point, between themselves and Toronto. Almost. I don't want to say it is, but almost. And then we'll see how it goes between them and Washington, who is the third seed. So, hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe if you're not a subscriber yet. All you got to do, if you haven't done this yet, search Locked On Celtics wherever it is. Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn app. We're out there. And if there's something that we're not on, tell us. We will get on that app. Rate us 5 stars if you are a subscriber and you haven't rated us, because that means you're just giving back to us. It's a show of appreciation. We don't ask for much. We don't ask for money. We ask you to buy some things every once in a while, but that's up to you. But the 5-star thing is easy. You don't have to spend any money to do that. Rate us the 5 stars. And if you want to, we've got a ton of other great shows. You can search Locked On Raptors to kind of get a sense for how they're feeling after the trade deadline. Locked On Wizards to see how they're doing after the trade deadline. Locked On Fantasy to see how the player movement has affected those fantasy ratings. And, you know, you're coming up on the playoffs here. You got to make your moves, maybe pick up a guy off the waiver wire. Locked On Fantasy will hook you up. Locked On NBA has got the whole league covered. That's the Locked On Network, and this is us, the Locked On Celtics Podcast.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millies.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.